people think the new fresh fragrances from Glade are fresher than fresh, like artist Priscilla.
This smells like houses in the Hamptons, champagne toast down in Brazil. Smells like anything you think could happen, probably will.
Explore the new Glade Fresh collection today.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Hi everyone, welcome to Good Game Nice Try. It's your favorite video game slash nerd culture podcast. I'm your second favorite host, Aaron Blair, here with your first favorite host, Sonia.
See, off the intro of that, I thought you were going to say your favorite host, and I'm like, you know what? Bold but not incorrect.
I am the Scottie Pippen to your Bill Laimbeer. Now, I know they played on different teams, so that doesn't really make sense, but I'm not good at sports. That's why I'm into video games. You know what's interesting? I have to say, we've been doing this podcast for a minute, and I'm obsessed in life with, like, firsts and lasts. Mm-hmm. Like, it's always interesting to me, like, how things end up, but then how they also start. Like, how did things start for you, period? Like, how did you start in gaming and how did you start doing videos? Like, where did that even come from?
I thought you were about to say, where'd you even come from? Yeah, it's funny thinking back on like early YouTube videos. I mean, I started on horror and I did some League of Legends stuff, but a big pinnacle outside of Minecraft was doing CSGO videos.
Whoa.
Just like playing CSGO, because the one thing that I learned that I love the most in like creating videos and just in general, just being on games, is open lobbies. Being able to just like chat right. with random people across the world and just the shit that they say, it is just like comedy gold. It's so good. I feel like you've kind of had a similar situation in VR chat too, and your foray into the VR space, just running into random people and doing bits with random people, and they are like fully, fully in it. Like they will commit.
It is so interesting because like, you know, like working in comedy for like 20 years, I think I'm always trying to create something that just naturally happens when you put insane people together. You know, like you're trying to like put yourself in the mindset of like, okay, what would people say in an open lobby? And trying to write that down. But then when you go into an open lobby, it's just the funniest things. They're just insane. And I'm always trying to like, how do I create this?
It's just kind chaos. Of a thing?
It's chaos. Yeah. And I will say to your point, it's a specific feeling and a specific group of people, but you can totally picture it in your head, you know?
Mm-hmm. No, for sure. And it's just the complete buffet of like, you never know what you're going to get. You'll have like an 11-year-old who's saying shit that they probably shouldn't say. You'll have an open lobby, someone's open mic in a living room of just like chaos happening.
There's a dog barking. Yeah.
Yeah, someone's getting so, like, singing. I don't know. Like, it's just such a concoction of you just have no idea what you're going to get. And it's beautiful.
But it's always felt to me like these open lobbies are, like, a fertile ground for – it could be a fertile ground for creativity.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And that's, again, why I really loved just jumping into – like, I would always play the same map. And it was just, I knew the map so well, I didn't have to care. I could just interact with people and just be, you know, be ridiculous. And just the chaos that would ensue from that was so worth just playing Dust 2 for the rest of my life. But I never really thought of, you know, taking it to the next level and starting to do voices. I had like a voice modulator. I did some like dumb robot voice. So I was Optimus Prime a few times, but I never thought about playing like fully fleshed characters, which was kind of missed opportunity on my part. And that's why I'm so stoked for our guest today, because he is like the pinnacle of open lobby success stories. For real. Like he's jumping in, impersonating from Family Guy Cleveland Brown in open Call of Duty lobbies. And he went from that to voicing the actual character on the show. It's wild. He's extremely talented. He's a musician, and he also has his own YouTube channel where he shares a lot of his awesome gaming content. So here's our interview with Arif Zahir.
Arif, thank you for being here. This is extremely fun for us because you are, I like to say, I don't think of myself as having, I like to think of myself as being kind of talented and being a good performer. You are maybe one of the most talented people I've ever had the pleasure of meeting. Unbelievably unreal in terms of the crazy impressions you're able to do. First of all, when you are going to do a new impression, what are the steps to get inside the character? What are some of the little ticks that you kind of focus on?
If it's someone I really want to learn, I'll watch a quote of theirs back to back for like 20, 30 minutes to an hour and just keep repeating that and repeating that until I can get it right.
A single quote.
Yeah, yeah. But it doesn't click every time, trust me. There's a lot of voices I've tried and failed at a lot. But when it does click, that's when it's the, you know.
Yeah, that's the one.
Chef's kiss, exactly.
Well, yeah, obviously very multi-talented. You have a huge Rolodex of incredible impersonations. One thing I really wanted to ask you, because I feel like we have a very similar shared love. And obviously you've been on YouTube for a really long time. Mm-hmm. If anyone has not checked out your YouTube channel, it's incredible. I feel like you and I are very similar in that we have a love of not only video games, but open lobbies in video games.
Oh, yeah.
Just open mics.
Yeah, that's the best thing, man. It's the best.
It seems like that was like the bread and butter of your channel for so long,
I think what sucks is like nowadays with the whole, you know, the past 4 or 5, 6 years, the party chat thing with people talking to their friends, obviously it's better for everyday, you know, day life. But for someone like my type of content, it was harder. Like I saw a significant drop in like people talking on the mics in public lobbies because of the party chat feature. So I do miss those Black Ops 2 Modern Warfare days, but it's still fun.
No, it's so good. Honestly, I get like the basis of a lot of my content too is just jumping into like random CSGO lobbies and just like the shit that people would say. It's so funny, but you were able to like elevate it and just bring all of the voices that you're able to do to the game and just troll the hell out of people.
Yeah, it was so fun because so I would do that stuff before recording it. You know, when I was a little kid, have your friends come over for a sleepover, hop on the game and just like prank. It's like prank calling, but on the game, you know? So just talk and do random voices to people and just made it a channel.
So you were doing this like before YouTube.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, no voices yet, but like doing like silly like accents and stuff like that, you know?
Yeah.
Let's talk about Cleveland for a second, because to be able to take trolling people on chat to getting on Family Guy as like the legit voice of Cleveland Brown, it's a Cinderella story, when did you first kind of, take us through kind of how that started, and then where was the real turning point where you're like, wait a second, this might actually happen, like, this is crazy.
Well, just doing it for years, watching the show,
when Mike stepped down, I initially thought, wow, that sucks, they're going to write Cleveland out of the show. If they cast someone, that'd be cool. But, you know, I prefer it just to be Mike Henry myself. I had said that. And my friends were like, oh, Mike, you know, my whole channel. Azersbrook, do it. Dude, this is made for you, made for you. And in my head, I'm like, there's no way. You know, I'm a YouTuber. This is not going to, whatever. And, you know, 2 weeks later, I got an email saying, we would love for you to audition for Cleveland if you want to. And I was like, yeah, no,
you're like,
no.
Nothing about it, I guess.
Yeah. Hard pass.
Right. They had seen my, I did a Cleveland Brown voice tutorial on my channel. And they said that was one of the distinguishing videos that, you know, they're like, you know, we know you know the character, you have a respect for it. Whoa. We'd love for you to audition. And I auditioned for like a month, you know, 4 or 5 times. And on the sixth time I got it, so.
Oh my gosh. That's crazy. So was it, did they just happen to stumble upon you, or was there anyone out there kind of planting some seeds with them, or how did that come about?
What had happened to my fans had made a petition that got like 17,000 signatures, which was cool.
Oh my God.
And and I did a TikTok as a joke initially when Mike stepped down. That got like 2 million views in like 2 days. So they probably saw that as well, you know?
Jeez. I would say between the two, that definitely puts a bit of a spotlight on you.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so interesting to me because it's like, I think it's, you know, I look back on, you know, my career and those things, and it always feels like luck. It always feels like, oh my God, a bolt out of the blue. But really, like, you know, you were putting in the work before that and you were doing a lot of stuff, you know, and so it kind of, yes, I mean, sure, I'm sure it was like a bit of a break or all those things. But like, even the fact that you could get your fans, you could get 17,000 signatures is huge. And I think it's just a real testament to A, your talent, but B, like how much work you've been putting in beforehand. Like, you know, can you take us back to the beginning of when you just even were like, maybe I should just start doing stuff on YouTube? And then the very early process of those grinding out those first videos.
Yeah, well, I came from an acting background as a kid. That was my favorite thing in the world. That was my dream. And initially, I had made my first YouTube channel in 2006, and it was me doing magic tricks. And I wanted to do skits and stuff, but
magic
I never had the
tricks.
Resources.
Like,
yeah.
What was your, did you have a signature trick?
Well, okay. These are the, you know, Chris Angel, David Blaine days. So I really, wanted to be Chris Angel so bad.
Ooh.
And just a lot of card tricks, you know, a lot of gimmicks where like the preset card, you can make it disappear and float and stuff like that.
Do you still have that knowledge? Like it's still in you?
Rusty,
like,
yeah.
You can pull it out at a party.
I could watch magicians now and be like, I know how they do that. It's cool.
You go to the magic castle and you're like,
yeah. Yeah, I got
it. See you.
Let's go up there, it's Cleveland. No, but so in 2013, you know, that channel had just become, the magic channel had just become my like viewing channel for just watching videos. I stopped creating and I started to do the Cleveland voice on Call of Duty in like 2012, 2013. And people would say, yo, bro, make this a channel. This should go viral, you know, because no one really did it yet. And I was thinking, no one's going to watch this. You know, this is going to be, but whatever, I'll do it. And 2013, late 2013, I got my first like 50,000 views on Cleveland Brown plays Call of Duty, and the rest was history from then. So,
dude, insane.
Yeah, I did. I would, for someone who's coming up on YouTube back then, I didn't have my own microphone. I had like my friend's Blue Snowball. I would go to his house.
Represent.
Yeah, I recorded everything at his house and edited the video for like 20 hours. And initially the video didn't do good. So people know, like, you're not going to do good instantly every time. But for me, I was like, I'm just having fun doing it. And if you're having fun, that's what's going to bring you to, you know, the views and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
I loved how the second video on your channel ever, like 8 years ago, was you doing the Cleveland Brown voice.
Yeah, yeah.
8 years ago.
I know. That's crazy.
Wild to take a step back? And like, what would you say to 16-year-old self?
Yeah,
what would you, like, it's crazy to think about.
I don't think he would believe it, you know? especially since, honestly, I had as I was building Steam, I remember I got 17,000 subscribers in 2013-14, and I was really building Steam. I was like, all right, I'm going to work on my second Cleveland Brown video. I can't wait. And then my computer broke. And these were the days
where
money was not easy to come by. Yeah, so I had like a 4 to 5 month hiatus, and a lot of my views dropped, and I was like, oh, my whole career's gone. I'm never going to be whatever. Like, I was convinced I was done. And I was like, you know what? Let me come back. I tried it. And it did good. Then I was like, let me try Obama. And that did good and stuff like that. You know, it was crazy.
That's wild. And so how was it your first day at Family Guy? What's going through your head? And what kind of surprised you about actually working on the show?
Well, you know, it's a unique experience because it's during COVID and the pandemic. So I haven't been able to physically meet anyone yet or go into a booth with other actors. But I will say the first table read. Everything's via Zoom. So the second I click, you know, join, and the thing is, I'm like, oh. Then everyone
You're
pops
like, I'm
up.
In it.
Yeah. You got Alex Borenstein, Seth Green, Rich, all the producers and everything. And I'm like, oh my God. You know, Patrick Warburton. And, you know, I used to do Patrick Warburton's voice as Joe. Everyone does Joe's voice as a kid. And he was like, hey, good morning, Reef. And I was like, hey, man. And I was fangirling inside, but I was like, hey, nice to meet you. Nice to meet you. So that was crazy. But it took me, I don't know, like 3 or 4 or 5 times, whenever we would read through the script and when we would get closer and closer to Cleveland, my heart was going, okay. I was like, don't forget the voice. Don't forget the voice. Like, don't have a voice. I mean, Cleveland voice cracks, but I was like, don't have a voice crack. Don't mess up. And it ended up being fine. But those first couple times were nerve wracking.
It's like when you're in like elementary school and you're trying to read ahead and see if there's like a word you don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like your heart's just going crazy.
Yeah,
and you're like,
that was
oh.
it. That's it. Same feeling.
Yeah. I mean, it just feels like I would just get so in my head about it.
Oh, or, my God.
Let's talk video games. I mean, so when you're playing video games and because you are a voiceover actor, are you critiquing The voices, or can you lose yourself in the game and not you're like, oh, this is a terrible voice that this person's doing. You know, weird choice, you know?
I think the type of games I play are pretty like, I tend to go for the AAA, you know, titles like Naughty Dog or Rockstar. So the voice acting is not really a problem. But if it's like a little indie game, you know, obviously sometimes a voice, like, interesting choice. You know, that's with everything. I'm sure it's harder to do than I can't wait to dive into that world as well of video game acting. But I think people have a lot of fun with that, you know?
Yeah.
I would just love you just throwing grenades like, and you know what? Fuck Troy Baker. Like, you know, just like, yeah, this guy, Nolan North can't do anything. You know, what are some video game franchises, if you could take your pick, that you would want to be a part of, that you would want to voice?
100% Last of Us. That's like, obviously.
That was so quick.
I mean, I'm a naughty dog. I love Neil Druckmann. I love Troy Baker. God. I love Nolan North. I love everyone. So let me see. Anything Insomniac does, obviously. Spider-Man or Ratchet and Clank will be awesome.
For sure.
A Bethesda game like, you know, Starfield or Fallout or...
Mm-hmm. I could see that. I could see all that.
I've always said I would love to do just like, so, you know, like famously George Clooney did the voice of like the dog in the first South Park episode.
Mm-hmm. I had no idea.
Like, because he was one of the people allegedly who passed like the VHS around to try to get it and kind of helped get it made. Wow. So they like let him be the dog or whatever. I would love to just be like a grunting
like
orc.
A little side character.
Yeah, like a weird, like, you know, that would be a dream.
You've got a pretty full plate, my friend. I don't think I need to be the one to tell you that, but I think, you know, between recording for Family Guy, still doing, you know, YouTube videos, you're working on music, you have so much going on. Do you still have time to play games? Like, what are you playing right now?
I shouldn't have time to play games, but I do. I need to start budgeting my time. As busy as I am, I do feel like the time I'm playing games, I should be spending more on working. But I'm just it's hard because it's like my heart.
Gotta have balance. Yeah. You don't want to lose the love for it, right?
Right, exactly. Right now, let's see here. Oh, I platinum to Halo Infinite.
Oh.
Yeah, so nice. Fun.
Have you been playing the multiplayer?
Like I was. Then I took a break after Christmas, you know?
Yeah.
And I came back home and I haven't touched it since. But beforehand, I was playing that a lot. I'm not really playing anything right now.
Oh, I see. So you've got your screen on in the background for people.
Yeah.
Can't see, yeah, but I see It Takes Two.
I play this a bunch, that Matrix Unreal Engine.
The Matrix Unreal Engine experience was so freaking cool.
Oh, I haven't tried that yet.
Oh, my
gosh. It's incredible. I haven't played Kena yet. What are you guys playing right now? I'm not really playing anything right. Next year is when that's when my life is going to go to gaming, but.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. No, I think this year for sure. I mean, like you said,
this
Starfield.
Year, that's what I meant. This year, yeah.
It still feels like the end of the 2021. We can say next year.
What's time anyway, man?
Right.
I'm on the Halo Infinite train. All I wanted to do was rank up, and as soon as I got into gold, all I wanted to do was get out of gold, so your girl is platinum one now.
Not
to brag, but I've just been like diving deep. Thank you for the applause. I've been diving deep into that, but I'm waiting for Horizon, Forbidden West. There's so many good games coming up this year.
Yes.
Again, Starfield. Is there anything else that you're like, you have your sights on that you're waiting for?
Yes, God of War, of course.
Of course.
Sifu, I don't know if you guys have seen anything about that. That martial arts game from the developers of Absolver.
It looks
awesome.
Very
excited for that. Yes.
Awesome.
Mm. Dying Light 2, Hogwarts Legacy, that Harry Potter game. That's, oh my, if that comes out,
Isn't that the MMO?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Oh my God. I hope it's.
Wizard MMO, that's all we need right now.
Yeah. Oh, Uncharted Legacy of Thieves, that's going to be fun too.
Oh, cool. Yeah. There we go.
Yeah.
I have to say, I'm into weird games. Okay. I'm into weird Let's games, man, and I'm obsessed with this game. I hope you guys are ready.
Goat Simulator. That's it.
You know what? I did a live show called Super Boss for many years at conventions. I had people compete with like celebrity judges, and that's Goat Sim was one of the rounds. It would just destroy. Audiences would go crazy. But I've been playing a lot of Animal Revolt Battle Simulator lately, which is like. There's a bunch of, it's just like any, it's like crazy animals and then fantasy animals. You just have them all fight each other.
Sounds fun.
It's really fun to set up. Especially
it's like an RTS kind of a thing?
I don't know what RTS is, but probably.
Like a real-time strategy sort of, like you take a turn and.
No, it's chaos. It's just they all, giant snakes and hydras. It's a great drinking game, man. I'm going to put it out there. It's real fun.
Wait, what's it called again?
It's called Animal Revolt Battle Simulator. And you could have like giant like gorillas with Thor hammers fighting like a bunch of Roman soldiers. Last night I had 300 salmon who apparently could just fly in the air. And then
as they do.
And one superpowered ant, and they were just fighting.
Oh, that's funny. It was awesome.
Well, the salmon, but barely. Because the ant couldn't get any clean hits, you know. But anyway, but it's fun to do that and then do like a play by play, you know, here we go. I had a bunch of demons fighting a bunch of team monkey. I had a bunch of monkeys. Anyway, I need help is what I'm saying. I need to go to the hospital.
We're gonna transition you to a dating simulator.
Yeah. Oh my God, please.
Mom, I got the job in Manhattan.
Do you have a warm enough winter coat? What about your car?
I'm selling it with Kelley Blue Book Instant Cash Offer.
How?
I enter my license plate number, miles, condition, upload photos, and boom! An official cash offer from a local dealership.
A cash offer instantly? Oh, did you call Aunt Stella? She's right there in Massachusetts.
Mom, I literally just got the job.
Not everything is as simple as selling your car with Kelley Blue Book Instant Cash Offer. Price it, fix it, trade it, sell it, KBB.com it.
It's hard not to add a side of hot, crispy hash browns to your favorite McDonald's breakfast. It's even harder not to eat said hash browns before you get home. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
You know, again, like we were saying, you have so much on your plate and, you know, with everything you're playing and doing right now, what is next? Like, what are your next steps? What's coming up for the year? What's in your sights? What do you want to work on?
I'll release at least 2 music projects this year.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah. One of my main goals is getting into a video game for voice acting or another animation role. That'd be amazing.
Shocked it hasn't happened, and it's a when, not an if, for sure. Absolutely.
Definitely.
Thank you.
100%. 100%. Now, with music, are you inspired by any video game soundtracks, or do you have any favorite games that you're like, oh, the music here is insane? Because I feel like you talk about The Last of Us, that's a soundtrack.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
wow.
My God.
Mm-hmm. You know? Yes. Oh, my God. Uncharted, I love that theme song. Let's see here. The Horizon theme, the Horizon soundtrack's pretty sick.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. I don't know if you guys have known this meme going around where the GoldenEye pause music from...
Oh, it's so good. Have you heard how good it is? It slaps so hard. It didn't need to go that hard, but it does.
I know. Somebody, whoever was that, whoever made that beat needs to be like famous right now and get a raise.
Dude, I agree.
They influenced everyone. Yeah.
Also, I love that meme like blew up and none of us realized it back in the day.
I know.
We all just took it for granted.
Right.
I know.
Exactly.
I feel like maybe low key we appreciated it. We're like, okay, all right.
Mm-hmm. It's cool.
But now looking back, it hit hard.
It's insane. That's actually, I'm working on a video now that I do a 21 Savage impersonation and I'm doing a 21 Savage wrapped on the GoldenEye pause. So that's going to be my next thing.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amazing. So. Amazing.
That's so good.
I feel like for me, GoldenEye was like one of the first games that made me truly angry. Like, just getting, I mean, odd job aside.
At other people or at yourself?
Mostly, you know what? I'm more of a depressive, so it was more like, oh, I deserve to die.
On the note of GoldenEye, have you tried to play it recently?
No.
Either one of you?
I have, yeah.
Did it age well?
Well, it is even more frustrating because I feel like back then you're so used to the N64 controller.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
but now,
yeah.
Like, you've adapted. Now, mouse and keyboard, everything else. So going backwards, it is so fucking frustrating. Mm-hmm.
The single stick, man. I
can't do it.
I can't do the single stick. It's like, how do we ever play this?
Oh,
how do we ever do the single stick? Because just we're so used to being able to, you know, having those two things uncoupled that you just feel like it's like, you know, the Michael Keaton Batman suit, how he couldn't turn his neck. He had to turn his whole body.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like that. It's terrible.
It's that. But it's the nostalgic value, you know? Right. It's still, it's in there. And I feel like N64 was like my big jam. That was probably the biggest system I was, you know, that was like my first system that I really, really dived into. What was that for you?
Okay. So my first console, I wouldn't say, the Super Nintendo. I never got an N64, but I always wanted one because it was the coolest looking thing in the world.
I agree.
Yeah. I'll say PlayStation 2 was the first console I fully dived into.
Oh, nice.
But I was one of those kids who never who never had a memory card and didn't know what it was. So I thought that every game you play, you start from the beginning every time. And I would do that for like 3 years straight.
Oh, no.
So I never beat a game.
Amazing.
Yeah.
What were the top replays? Like what first level did you play the most of?
Yeah, oh my God. I would play Jack 2 all the time. It would be like a thing where I'd have my friends come over and be like, all right, whoever can beat the game today. Thinking the game's going to be 4 hours long. But we literally would get like 12. I remember one time my friend and I got 12 hours in and then we had to start it over again because we didn't do it. Yeah.
That gave me a physical pain hearing that.
Yeah. Oh my God. The Spider-Man PS1 game was incredible. That was, I used to always replay that too. Do you guys remember the Jam Packs? Those two?
Jam Packs?
No.
It would be like the little discs you get in the magazines from GameStop or whatever, and it would have demos on them for PS2 games.
Whoa.
And you'd literally play them.
No, I don't think I ever got it.
Oh my God. The coolest thing ever. Destroy all humans.
Was it just like little bite-sized games? Like little...
Yeah.
It would be
like a disc, and it would have like 3 or 4 demos of the upcoming PlayStation 2 games, and you would just play them. Yeah.
That's...
Oh, man.
Now I feel like I want to go back and play a bunch of Jam Packs.
Yeah, very cool.
Because that's the thing is, like, now I think this is kind of something I struggle with. Like, and this is true on YouTube also, and great YouTube content. There's just so much. There's so much out there, and there's no real kind of like, you know, IGN or Polygon or whatever. It's so hard to find great stuff.
Right.
You know, like, and many times, like, we're depending on the algorithm to feed it to us, you know, and all this other, all these other things.
Yeah.
And, it's just so hard to break through. That's why, you know, when you had your first viral hit, it's like, oh my God, this guy's amazing. But it's like in a certain way, like you have to be your own advertising these days. And that's true for games too. It's like I'll go through on Steam and, you know, I'll do these live streams where we'll go on a game hunt. And it's kind of like improv. We'll be like, all right, peanut butter. And I'll search for games on peanut butter. And I found a lot of my favorite games just literally randomly.
Being randomly, yeah.
Mm. That way, which is it's so weird to think about that, you know?
You're right. That's right.
I feel like a lot of it is just word of mouth. Like for me, just finding games like that. Like I wouldn't, you know, It Takes Two, obviously Game of the Year. I don't think I would have like just stumbled across it and picked it up, but... You know, just hearing from other people. But I do miss that, like just being able to have like demos of games. Because even one thing I'm finding that I struggle with is I'll start a game. And even if I don't like it, I feel obligated to finish it.
I feel obligated.
Really? You can just throw it out.
I have no heart. I'm just like, fuck this.
Life's too short.
Life's too short. I got planes backed up on the runway for games. I still haven't played Fight Crab. I bought a game where it's like two crabs and you have a little switchblade. You're a crab and you're fighting another crab. I haven't even been able to play it yet. There's a game called Spider Heck where it's just you versus a bunch of different spiders and you all have lightsabers. I haven't even played it yet. I don't have time for bad games. Fuck that. Arif, do you feel the need to complete games? You just said you platinumed Halo Infinite. Are you like a completionist?
No, but I when it's like a game that I really, really love, I will. But for the most part, I'm like you. Like, I got my first From Software game with Sekiro, and I played it. I'm like, this is dope, man. I played it for like an hour, and I couldn't get past the first, like, giant dude. And I was like, I don't have time for this.
Nah.
I don't have time.
Good.
Yeah, like, I get it's a great game. I'm not that. Yeah. I can't sit here and chip away at the boss. No, that's not my thing.
Yeah.
That's fair.
I gave up at exactly the same point. The big, like, white, like, crazy guy on the hill.
Yeah.
I was like, well, I guess I'm never going past this. Bye.
No. Yeah, it took me 40 minutes to beat, and people were like, oh, that's not even a boss. I'm like, no.
You're like, oh, that was the intro?
Yeah, right?
Nah.
I'm good.
Life's too short.
Right. I will say, that is hilarious when you're playing a game. You're like, oh, man, 2 hours in this game. And then the title comes up. And you're like, oh, my God, how long is this game?
Exactly. I'm good.
It's like insane. God. But I will say, it's so funny because, and again, like, it is a win of you voicing video game characters. Mm-hmm. But it does feel like, and we talk about this a lot on this podcast, that games are like the new film, you know, the new art form that really, it does feel like they're just starting to elevate beyond. I mean, you talk about Halo, man, like that is a movie. Mm-hmm. That right. you're playing in a movie, which is like crazy. Mm-hmm. Have you ever, what is the game that's like affected you the most emotionally?
Okay, well, you know, aside from The Last of Us 2, because I feel like everyone will have that similar reaction.
That's true.
Emotionally. Okay, I'm thinking now, there's two instances. What made the game that made me the most happy and made me like feel like, wow, this is a, like Uncharted 2, when I first played that, there was nothing like it to me at the time. Mm. Yeah. And then Telltale's The Walking Dead, when, you know, I don't want to spoil, you know what happens with Lee. Yeah, I was like, why am I crying at this game?
Yeah,
for sure.
And that game really, especially that game, because I had never played a Telltale game. Walking Dead was the first one I'd played. And it snuck up on me. That game, because you're kind of, it's just kind of like a choose your own adventure. And you're not, I don't know, it's hard to describe. Sonny, you've played Telltale games, right?
Yeah, I haven't played The Walking Dead one, though.
It's great. But it's also like, I didn't expect to be pulled in emotionally like I was, because it is a little, you know, it's very like do this, do that, like Dragon's Lair or whatever, that old game.
Whereas something like The Last of Us, it's like going in.
Yeah.
You kind of know your heartstrings are going to get pulled. Maybe not to the extent that they are, but.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's just, I guess I didn't feel like I was the character as much as other games, but yeah, you choked up, man. That's a tough road to hoe. Tough road to hoe. That's wild. Uncharted 2, you know, kind of, you know, made you feel human emotion. What are your thoughts on this movie coming out? Tom Holland, Mark Wahlberg, you know, a lot of people are into it, some people are not. What do you think? What would you like to see from the movie?
I would like to see, initially I thought that Tom Holland was going to play like the Uncharted 3 Nathan Drake, but they had explained that it's going to be their own thing, right? So that I'm already going into it with that mindset now. Like, if they were trying to go for, like, a kid Nathan Drake, but I see he's doing every set piece from all the games. At first, I was like, Like, it took him, like, 20 years to get to that airplane scene. But, you know, we'll see. From the new scene they showed of the plane looked pretty cool. But I'm going to go into it with, I'm going to separate myself, like, from the games a little bit, you know, so I can enjoy it more. You know, I love both of the actors, but... Interesting to see Mark Wahlberg as Sully to me, you know, and Tom Holland as Nathan Drake. That's definitely interesting.
I agree. I think it's you know, casting, I think, is so important in movies and in games, obviously.
Right.
And we have these thoughts in our head of like, oh, no one could be this or whatever. And it's like, I would just think like Nathan Fillion would be Nathan Drake. But the thing is, maybe that's not going to work. And we don't know the vision and we don't know how it's all going to come about. So
I think they want to build, you know, hopefully, you know, obviously they want to make it like a giant, you know, series. So Nathan Fillion's already like Uncharted 4 Nathan Drake, you know, they want like, but I know, I think my dream, like I thought about it the other day. I think my dream, like Uncharted, if they had made Uncharted in 2009 or 2010, I think Nathan Fillion and J.K. Simmons as Sully would have been incredible to me. That would have been awesome.
Yeah.
This is not taken away from, you know, Mark Wahlberg and Tom Holland, because I haven't seen the film yet. But that's what my dream cast would be for sure.
And they're gonna kill it. I mean, Tom Holland and Mark Wahlberg are great. And like, so that's the thing, is like, I love the fact that these guys are in it. And I'm excited to see what they do. And you just think about, like, you know, are you a comic book fan?
No. I love comic books, but I'm not gonna lie and say I read them. So
So it's like they needed to change stuff to make the Marvel movies, you know, from the comic books, to make the Marvel movies work. They couldn't have, this is such a deep nerdy reference. Are you ready? They couldn't make Thanos, you know, the reason why he's doing it is in the comic, he's in love with death. You know, like the girl, the mistress death. And so that's why he's doing all that. In the movie, they had to change it and it works better. So
You're right.
Fight Club, the book is different than the movie. They got to adapt and make it better.
Exactly. So
totally.
But we are really spoiled. I mean, between Uncharted and The Last of Us series and everything. I think we're really spoiled with like video game adaptations coming up.
I agree.
For sure.
I agree. Yeah. What's the one that we all want to see? What would you want to see?
That's not announced or what?
That's not enough. If you could put it out there in the world, what's the adaptation you want?
A Max Payne series would be sick.
Oh.
What else?
Yeah, you said Max Payne quick.
That was very quick.
In a minute.
No, I think they need to do Max Payne better. You know, they gotta Here we go with Mark Wahlberg again, though. But
yeah, they got to do it.
I think they can. There's a lot of source material there, whether it be in more games and more whatever. I think that's a cool character and cool world they need to explore more for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
And now after watching Arcane, I think they could do a lot with other games. You know,
hell
like
yeah,
an animated series. Like I wanted to. I'm not a top down fan. I respect the genre. It's not my thing. LOL. I remember trying League of Legends years ago. I was like, this is not. And then I watched Arcane. I was like, you know what? This is dope as shit. Let me try it again.
Like, hold on a second.
Yeah. And then I see a clown doing the worm. And I was like, what the hell is this? So I don't know. I think they can make more like animated series with games too. That would be really cool.
That is a really good point because, you know, we are getting spoiled again, like I was saying with Uncharted and, you know, The Last of Us, which is, I feel like they're game genres and stories that really lend themselves to a series. Mm-hmm. But something like League of Legends, it's right. hard to like picture that as a series, yeah. but they did it
and they ended
so
up right.
well, like they killed it and it was so unique. The animation right. style was so
unique. I know,
unique.
Animation's incredible. And I was like, what? How is this League of Legends? Not to drip on it, but it's like, it's nothing like the actual game, you know?
Yeah. So. And I think you're right. I feel like that just opens doors for a lot of new series and mm-hmm. a lot of new, I don't know. I feel like sky's the limit, really.
Right. Like it made me
that
want,
was really cool.
It literally made me want to watch, I've wanted this for years, but like an Overwatch show or a Apex Gosh. Legends show like that. That could be so, so sick.
I know. I always think of like the little mini like intro videos they were doing for mm-hmm. Overwatch characters.
Yeah.
And every one that I would see, I'm like, make a movie.
Yeah, exactly.
Make a movie.
I don't know what's going on. I don't know why they haven't done that yet.
Ugh.
Honestly, part of me had an epiphany the other day. Like I felt like, you know, for years, superhero films were like these one-offs. Every couple of years, you got Incredible yeah. Hulk. Then you had Spider-Man. Then you had Ghost Rider. Like, it was like, okay, they're cool, but, you know. I feel like gaming media might be like that in the sense where they're making random shows, random movies. But I think one day a giant studio like Disney or something is just going to get a bunch of rights to video game companies and start mass producing them to the point where they become like AAA films. You know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. I can see that happening.
Yeah, 100%. And that was the first thing I thought of, you know, when it said that Netflix was going to get into gaming. Mm-hmm. And I was like, and everyone's like, what? And I was like, here would be the only reason. So then they put a game out, then they do a series as well.
Right.
You know, and just absolutely destroy
Smart.
It. Or go the opposite way. And like, they've got Stranger Things, now make a fun, crazy right. game with it.
Yeah.
That's smart.
Sure. Now, look, I hate to say this, but we're almost out of time. But we love to end every interview with asking our guest their best and their worst. So the game that they love, absolutely love the most, and then the game they can't stand or maybe broke your heart. Let's start. We're going to start low and we'll go high. So what's the game okay. that you just can't stand or that disappointed you the most?
No disrespect to CD Projekt Red, okay? I was just really mm-hmm. excited day one for Cyberpunk and it just
yes!
wasn't. I was telling myself for so long, I was like, you know what, Arif? I'm not a Witcher fan. I respect it. It's dope. I'm probably not going to get, you know, Cyberpunk, you know, and then as they started the marketing started going up and up.
Yes.
I'm like, you know what? This could be the Fallout that I want. This could be the Elder Scrolls that I've been wanting. I can't yes. wait. And then it came out and yeah. So I'm sure it's great now. I haven't tested, but yeah.
On paper, you're like Cyberpunk and like kind of open world. Yes.
Right, right. Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly.
I agree. And yeah, great. I totally agree. CD Projekt Red, amazing folks. And mm-hmm. I'm looking forward to their next thing for sure. And it bums me out because I feel like, yeah, they got a bad rap, unfortunately,
yeah,
for the
right.
Cyberpunk thing. But, oh, man, yeah, I totally agree. All right, best game. Best one, the shining beacon on the hill.
Okay, I'm not going to say, you know, I've said Uncharted 2, so you get it. That's going to be the, you know, honorable mention.
Sure, sure.
Bully, for sure. Bully by Rockstar. Yes.
Underrated.
Yes.
I've never played Bully.
Oh, my
God. So good. It's so good. It's incredible.
I was obsessed with that game.
Yeah.
I was younger.
Me too.
Why is it great? And what am I a bully in the game or I'm fighting against
no.
bullies?
So that's why it had gotten a lot of like flack from a lot of critics because they didn't even play it and were like, bully is just GTA, but in school and you're robbing and murdering kids now. And it wasn't that at all. You're literally, you're a delinquent, but you go to the school, you start like low and there's like a whole honor system, these jocks, nerds, popular kids and everything. And you got to like earn their trust and you basically beat up the bullies basically and try to make everyone think, look, I'm a cool kid. And you can go around and like throw eggs at people and wedgies parties and
oh my god,
go to class and stuff. You can sneak out into the girls' dorm and kiss the girls. That's what, like, as a kid, as a dorky loser kid, I would be the cool kid in that game. And that was like, that was my thing for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my god, that feels like everything I've ever wanted.
It's
great. Play that.
It's
yeah.
really good.
Oh my
really
god. Good. Wow. Well, Bully. Well, good. Again, thank you so much for being here and
course,
congratulations again. And I can't wait to see you in a game mm-hmm. very, thank very you. Soon. We're all pulling for you.
Thank you guys so much. Appreciate it.
All right. So thanks again to Arif. And hey, look, check him out on Family Guy. He is absolutely fantastic. And, you know, look, if you do an impression in a Call of Duty lobby, maybe you too one day will achieve fame. I mean, that's why I always play as Richard Nixon. Oh, you know, so I'm hoping oh, wow, Jen hates that impression.
No, it was so good.
That I've never seen.
There was such a quick, pungent reaction from both of us.
It was like you both saw a car crash. And you
know
what?
I loved it.
You kind of did. You kind of did. I'll take it. Listen, we're going to take a quick break because I think both Sonia and Jen
need
a minute, but we'll be right back after the break.
I had an allergic reaction to that.
The Summer Berry Starbucks Refreshers Beverage is here. The can't get enough of it drink of the summer. A mix of berry flavors, raspberry flavored pearls, vibrant, ice cold, delicious. Ooh. Here for summer. Order on the app.
All right, we're back. And
have you recovered from the Richard Nixon?
Oh
everyone?
My God. No. Here. All right, now we're going to go back to another quick break. And
well played.
I think at this point, I think we need a drum roll. Because after our first Game Book Club, which was so much fun, I had a blast playing BioShock Infinite. Round two, baby. Let's go. It's time.
Once it's a mistake, twice is a tradition, baby.
Hey.
Exactly.
Well, we put out a poll on Twitter, and Jen, what are we looking at?
So we had three options that we sort of compiled from multiple submissions. You guys all submitted great games, and we each picked one for you guys to then vote on. And the three choices were Graveyard Keeper, Firewatch, and Lake. And I don't think really any of us knew much about any of these games, so we sort of were just going out on a whim? That sounds like a weird...
Out on a limb?
Limb.
How about a whim on a limb?
I was like, limbs I know that's limbs. Not the phrase, but yet that's all I can think about saying. So the winner, it's very exciting, is Firewatch.
Ooh.
It won by a lot. It got 72% of the votes, and a lot of people voted. So it got 72%. Whoa. Graveyard Keeper came in second, and Lake third. So
okay.
Looks like we'd be playing Firewatch.
Dang, I'm excited.
If I had to guess, I would guess that this game is a flash game where we're all around a fire and that you have to dodge the smoke. Does that ever happen to you? You're on a campfire and the smoke gets in your face.
It always follows you. It always follows you.
You know
why?
I read a thing and found out why that was. Do you want to know why it follows you?
Why?
Yeah.
Okay, so if that happens, it's because... Okay, the fire, I'm totally derailing this. I'm derailing
this. No, please.
This.
I'm so curious.
It's because the fire is sucking in air, right, from all around it. It's sucking in air. So what happens is if you're too close to the fire, you're blocking the air being sucked in, so the smoke comes towards you.
Wow.
Right? So if the smoke is constantly coming towards you, take a step back,
you're
mofo.
You're too close.
You're blocking... The oxygen being fed to the fire. That's what it is.
And I feel like this is going to be an essential game mechanic.
Yes.
In Firewatch.
In Firewatch. And that's why when you move, it follows you because you're still blocking. You're too close. You're still too close.
That's it. I think you're on
Jen's mind. I actually knew
Science,
an outdoor
man.
Fact that Jen didn't
I
know.
I know.
Guys,
I'm
we just
so
beat
impressed.
Firewatch. We just beat
That's
Firewatch.
Just beat it. That has to be what this game's about.
Yeah,
I can only assume.
No, I've seen the art in this game looks amazing. I've heard really good things. I'm really excited to give it a shot.
I feel like I'm about at the same as you. I've seen the art. I've heard really good things, but I don't know anything about it.
Same. Yeah.
Cool. All right.
I'm really excited. And so, yeah, everyone play along with us too. We're going to, I think over the next few weeks, just sort of end each episode with a bit of a recap on our playing journey.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for this week, everybody. You knew what you were in for. When you got people are tuning out. People are tuning out and unsubscribing
our
to our podcast.
Our cascading.
For this week, be sure to rate and review.
Our ratings are plummeting.
I sound like Nixon being mauled to death by a pack of dogs. That's going to do it for this week, everyone. Be sure to rate and review us. Give us 5 stars and a nice little review. Come on, don't be a dick. And follow Good Game, Nice Try on Twitter. And please play some Firewatch with us. We'll be back next week and the following week and the week after that to tell you all how we're doing. And we'll see you next week with a Firewatch update. I'll see y'all.
Oh,
I'm cutting this out.
Good Game, Nice Try is produced by Jen Samples and Nick Liao. Our executive producers are Joanna Solitaroff, Adam Sachs, and Jeff Ross. Engineering by Will Becton, with engineering and sound design by Chester Guasta. Talent booking by Paula Davis, Gina Batista, and Brick Kahn. Special thanks to Lisa Berm, and music, as always, you know him, John Danick.
I think I need a lozenge.
This has been a Team Coco production.
Do you know someone struggling to figure out their mental health benefits? The Mental Health Insurance Assistance Office is here to help. Find us at insurance.ohio.gov/GETMHIA or call us at 855-438-6442. Don't wait. The Mental Health Insurance Assistance Office can help you figure out what mental health insurance benefits may be in their plan. Call us today at 855-438-6442.